I'm Stephanie Curtis, sitting in for Carrie Miller. You are listening to Minnesota Public Radio News. It's Monday, so we are lucky to have Ken Rudin, the host of the Political Junkie podcast, joining us from Washington, D.C. Hello, Ken.
Good morning, Stephanie.
If you have a question for Ken about, I don't know, the tax bill, national politics, there's so much to talk about, give us a call. The number is 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Well, Ken, it looks like the Republicans will get that tax bill passed. Is there anything that will get in the way?
Well, I mean, you never know about a last-minute emergency or a derailing, but it looks like they will get their wish. Obviously, the Republicans have been desperate for a victory of some sort this year. They didn't get it on health care overhaul, the repeal and replace, but it looks like they'll get it on the tax bill, especially because two of the holdouts, Bob Corker of Tennessee and Marco Rubio of Florida, both of whom were threatening of a no vote because they were not satisfied with some of the provisions in the bill. But as of Friday, both seem to be on board. The only question mark is, well, first of all, John McCain, as we heard the newscast, John McCain may not attend the vote. Mm-hmm. He's back in Arizona recovering. Obviously, he's in serious, precarious health issues. Thad Cochran of Mississippi also has some health issues, though he's not expected to miss the vote. But if all other Republicans, if 50 of the 52 Republicans are there voting yes, then at the minimum, they'll pass it with Mike Pence's tie-breaking vote. It doesn't look like any other Republican is on the fence or leaning towards a no vote.
Do they have to pass it this week, or is this their own deadline?
Well, it is, you know, I mean, from the beginning, the president said he wanted it on his desk by Christmas. There is absolutely no deadline, unlike with the budget, there isn't, which has a deadline on Friday. Otherwise, if they don't pass it by Friday, the government funding will stop immediately. But it's absolutely an artificial deadline. Republicans wanted to give it to the president by Christmas. The president wanted to say to the American people that the American people will get a Christmas present with tax cuts, mostly the middle class, or at least that's the argument the Republicans have. But no, there's no reason it has to be passed this week.
And they do get some changes to the ACA in there through the tax bill, don't they? So they do get a little, they weaken it.
Well, they do, but of course, that's how they got Susan Collins' vote of Maine. She's obviously a supporter of the Affordable Care Act, at least insofar as the individual mandate. They've weakened the criticism of that in the bill, the agreement that the Senate and House negotiators have worked out. It's not perfect for everybody, and certainly if you're a deficit hawk, as a lot of Republicans were when they were elected to Congress, given the fact that it's likely to raise the deficit by anywhere between $1 trillion and $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years, that seems to violate core Republican principles. But there's going to be a lot of swallowing of pride and swallowing of ideological purity when the vote comes this week. But right now, it looks like the vote is coming and it will pass.
Can they get the budget deal done, too, this week? There's a lot of work to get done. And that one really has to get done, as you said.
That's right. The deadline is Friday. Otherwise, they run out of funding for the government. And there is a true deadline this week. And unlike with the tax bill, they need 60 votes in the Senate, which means they need Democratic votes. And right now, there's been no indication that the White House or the Republicans have done any reaching out to Democrats at all. The fact that Donald Trump will still tweet about, you know, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, once upon a time his close friends Chuck and Nancy, no longer his close friends. The fact that he taunts them at every opportunity. It just seems to be no reaching out by the Republicans at all. And of course, the Democrats have some demand as well. And they have leverage because they need the 60 votes. So stuff about the Dream Act, you know, the Dreamers, about non-defense spending. These are the Democratic demands. And obviously, unlike with the tax bill, Republicans will have to listen to the Democrats when it comes to passing a budget.
Do you think we're going to see something final with DACA and with the Dream Act?
I don't. I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, I don't know if the Democrats have a good argument on this at all, because the president from the beginning said that something has to be done by Congress by March. So for the Democrats to demand that something gets done with DACA this week, I don't know if, first of all, let's talk about artificial deadlines. I don't know if it has to be passed this week, but again, the Democrats want something for their votes, and maybe the Dreamers and things like that may be what they're demanding. But right now, the Republicans are still holding firm to the Trump argument that this doesn't have to be done before March. But as we know with Congress, everything gets done at the last second, even or sometimes even later, and the Democrats feel they have some leverage with that.
We're talking to Ken Rudin. Our phone number is 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Let's go to Ann in St. Paul. She just want to go back to the voting again one more time and kind of go over it with a fine-tooth comb, which I think a lot of people are wondering about. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Yeah, Mr. Rudin, I have a quick question about how the vote would what happens if we have a situation where with Senator McCain not voting. We're looking at 51 yes and 48 no. But let's say that we have McCain out of the picture, and then we also have two other people who decide to vote against it. So now we're looking at 49 versus 50. What happens then? I mean, the vice president would, I mean, if the vice president would vote on this, that would just create a tie. Would you be able to explain, you know, what would happen then if we're looking at a situation like that?
Well, Ann, it's a good question, but the vice president only votes in case of a tie. The vice president wouldn't vote to create a tie. So let's just say, for argument's sake, there are 52 Republican votes, Republican senators. If McCain misses it, that's only 51 Republicans. And if two Republicans vote against it, it'll come down to, well, let's see if my math is good. It'll be 49. It'll be 49 Republicans voting yes and 48 Democrats voting no. So it would still pass. But again, if you lost the McCain vote and you had other Republicans voting no, which doesn't look like it's likely to happen, then it would go down. But again, by that calculation, if two Republicans vote no and McCain doesn't vote, you still have 49 Republicans voting yes. You have 48 Democrats voting no, and that would still pass. But again, Pence would only vote in case of a tie, not to create a tie.
Ken, since we last spoke to you, Doug Jones won that special election in Alabama, and I heard Tom Perez saying this is a watershed. This shows this and this about the Democrats, and we're going to win the midterms. Like, there's a blue tide coming, and President Trump has said, well, I always said that Moore wasn't going to be a winner. What do you think? What do you think the election heralds for Democrats and Republicans?
Well, it definitely shows Democratic momentum. We saw last month in Virginia where the Democratic vote was far higher than anybody anticipated. They expected close votes, and they were not close in the races for governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general in Virginia. Plus, the fact that the Democrats were not expected to come close with taking enough seats in the House of Delegates to win control. They failed just short, but the Democratic turnout that was far larger than anybody expected. And same with Alabama as well. The black turnout was enormous. Apparently, it was even larger than it was with President Obama on the ballot in 2008 and 2012. And it was certainly larger than it was when Hillary Clinton ran in 2016. Plus, women came out in larger numbers. Obviously, the arguments. Look, I suspect that I don't know if this was an isolated case or not. As people have said, you know, they could have taken any Republican out of the phone book, any person out of the phone book, put an R next to his or her name, and that person would have beaten Doug Jones. Roy Moore had so many strikes against him, especially since the Washington Post came out with the report about all these women who accused him of sexual harassment or worse. So, look, Roy Moore was probably an awful candidate. Doug Jones may have been the Democrat who was at the right place at the right time. And as it was still a pretty close election. I mean, given all the strikes against Roy Moore, and Doug Jones barely won it. But having said that, there does seem to be a sense of Democratic momentum, that more Democrats are energized about 2018 than Republicans are. And who knows what Robert Mueller is going to find out or, you know, continue to look for in his investigation and about possible collusion between the Trump team and the Russians. Right now, I'd rather be a Democrat than a Republican. But look, We couldn't predict the election of Arizona, Alabama, the day of the election, just like we couldn't predict Trump beating Hillary Clinton on the day of the election. So I'd be kind of crazy to predict what's going to happen in 2018. But right now, it seems like there is Democratic momentum and good feelings.
Let's go to Susan in Minneapolis, who's called in. Hi, Susan. What's your question for Ken?
Yeah, hi. This actually has to do more with the budget deal. If the Democrats can't get DACA, I want to know, what are they doing to try to get the $25 billion cut in Medicare that will be created by the tax bill? What are they doing to ameliorate that? And are they trying to do that in the budget deal?
Thanks, Susan.
Well, there was a lot of, look, there was, first of all, the Democratic base, the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party, are really, you know, calling and signaling every Democrat, say, do not give in, given the fact that the Republicans are pushing for more defense spending expenses, and the fact that they may not get anything on DACA, they may not get anything on the children's health insurance program that expired several months ago and still has not been funded. But again, as I say, the Democrats still have leverage. I mean, I don't know what they're demanding. I mean, the time is running short. Obviously, the House is probably not going to vote on this before Wednesday. And if there are differences in the Senate, you know, it has to come back. If it goes, if the Senate votes on it Wednesday or Thursday, then it has to go back to the House again if there are differences. They're really running out of time. I know the Democrats in the Senate are talking about what power they have and what demands they have. And it may be the CHIP program, it may be DACA, but if they give up on both, and given the fact that all the things that have been cut in the tax bill hurts the Democrats and the Democratic constituency, I think if you want to lose that Democratic momentum and that sense of urgency that the Democrats got after Alabama, you'll see it if the Democrats cave on the budget bill this week.
So when I went to Politico this morning, there was a headline saying that some members of Congress are urging Al Franken to reconsider resigning. Do you think that will happen?
No, but I saw that too. I think there's a feeling among some Democrats, and I saw Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, quoted especially saying that there was a rush to judgment on Al Franken, and that, I mean, given the fact that Donald Trump has like 16 women accusing him of sexual harassment or worse, and he's just dismissing them all as liars. But the Democrats will say, well, look, we're not the party of Donald Trump. We're not the party of Roy Moore. And as Kirsten Gillibrand, the senator from New York, says, we are the party of zero tolerance. So maybe there was a rush to judgment, some Democrats are saying. Maybe Franken should have been afforded the opportunity to make his case before the Senate Ethics Committee. But I think what's done is done. Governor Dayton has made his appointment, you know, once Franken resigns, which is probably in January. And while I think there is some regret on the Democratic side, I don't think Franken takes back his announcement and intention to resign.
Okay, let's assume the Republicans pass the tax bill, budget gets done. When they come back, what are the big Republican goals next year in 2018?
Well, I think the big one is to maintain control of the House and Senate, and that is very iffy. I mean, of course, the Republican numbers in the Senate are good because of the 33 Senate seats that are up. 25 of them are held by Democrats, so there are more Democratic targets out there than there are Republicans. But Steve Bannon has not gone away, is not intending to go away, even though he seems to have been rejected, his philosophy rejected with the Roy Moore defeat in Alabama. Steve Bannon is still talking about challenging every Republican up for re-election with a Bannon-backed candidate, refusing to, you know, an anti-Mitch McConnell Republican candidate. So for the Republicans, if nothing else, if they can get the tax bill passed, which it looks like they will, if they don't have a budget deal, they may be another 2-week extension or a 1-month extension, which may be the case. But more than anything else, they are desperate to maintain control of the House and Senate. And if Alabama and Virginia are any indication, it may be more difficult than anybody expected at this point.
Ken, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steph.
You have happy holidays.
You too. I guarantee 2018 will be just as interesting as 2017 was.
It has been such a ride. I can't believe it. It's going to be interesting to watch Congress try to wrap this up this week.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.